on the blackboard. When I went to take the test the next morning, it was like the Twilight Zone, he recalled. I recognized the first problem as one of the ones I had dreamed about. And the next, and the next, and the next. And I aced the exam and got a good mark in chemistry. And I promised the Lord he would never have to do that for me again. Ben went on to achieve his goal of becoming a physician. By age 33, he became the youngest director of pediatric neurosurgery in the country, performing pioneering operations at Johns Hopkins Hospital. He separated twins conjoined at the brain, performed the first successful neurosurgery on a fetus, developed new methods of treating brainstem and spinal cord tumors, and was awarded the nation's highest civilian honor, the Presidential Medal of Freedom. A 2014 poll ranked Benjamin Solomon Carson Sr. as among the 10 most admired people in America. He even made a bid to become president of the United States, achieving front-runner status in the Republican primary for a season. All because a dream helped him pass a chemistry course nearly 50 years ago. What do you think? Was this a coincidence? A tall tale exaggerated to promote a political career? Or a miraculous intervention by God? In equatorial Africa, far from pharmacies and hospitals, a woman died in childbirth, leaving behind a grieving 2-year-old daughter and a premature baby in danger of succumbing to the chill of the night. With no incubator, no electricity, and few supplies, the newborn's life was in jeopardy. A helper filled a hot water bottle to maintain the warmth desperately needed by the infant. But suddenly, the rubber burst, and it was the last hot water bottle in the village. A visiting missionary physician from Northern Ireland, Dr. Helen Rosevere, asked the orphans to pray for the situation. But a faith-filled 10-year-old named Ruth seemed to go too far. "Please, God, send us a water bottle," she implored. "It'll be no good tomorrow, God. The baby'll be dead. So please send it this afternoon." As if that request was not sufficiently audacious, she added, "And while you're about it, would you please send a dolly for the little girl so she'll know you really love her?" Recalled Rosevere, "I was put on the spot. Could I honestly say amen? I just did not believe that God could do this. Oh, yes, I know that he can do everything. The Bible says so, but there are limits, aren't there?" The only hope of getting a water bottle would be from a parcel sent from the homeland, but she had never received one during the almost 4 years she had lived there. Anyway, she mused, if anyone did send a parcel, who would put in a hot water bottle? I live on the equator. A couple of hours later, a car dropped off a 22-pound package. The orphans helped open it and sort through the contents. Some clothing for them, bandages for the leprosy patients, and a bit of food. "Oh, and this. As I put my hand in again, I felt the... could it really be? I grasped it and I pulled it out. Yes, a brand new rubber hot water bottle," said Rosevere. I cried. I had not asked God to send it. I had not truly believed that he could. With that, little Ruth rushed forward. "If God has sent the bottle, he must have sent the dolly, too," she exclaimed. She dug through the packaging and found it at the bottom of the parcel, a beautifully dressed doll. Asked Ruth, "Can I go over with you, Mummy, and give this dolly to that little girl so she'll know that Jesus really loves her?" That parcel had been packed 5 months earlier by Rosevere's former Sunday school class. The leader, feeling prompted by God, included the hot water bottle. A girl contributed the doll. And this package, the only one ever to arrive, was delivered the same day Ruth prayed for it with the faith of a child. A mere twist of fate? An embellished yarn, or perhaps a miracle? Dwayne Miller's greatest enjoyment came from preaching at his small church and singing songs of worship.